Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2020. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. For the United States of America is our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show, still available online at Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com. Check it out today. Donate if you have the heart to help. We talked with our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, as we do every Monday, first hour on your radio. We talked about Utah County property tax increase. It's a referendum. Please visit rejecttaxincrease.com. We also talked about HB 14, school absenteeism and truism amendments. People are trying to do a good job, folks, but we live in such a controlled society, it's very tough for constitutionalists and freedom-loving, liberty-loving Americans to stand up and be counted, but we've got to do it, folks. It is our heritage. Our children depend on it. We talked about the compulsory education reality. It's the bane of learning and freedom. We talked about Christine Smith doing a great job. She posted a scathing review and a rebuke of compulsory education. It's at the website fff.org. And that's the Freedom Foundation website up there, fff.org, doing a great job. She estimates that there are 50 million students who are compelled by compulsory education laws in their states to attend government schools. It's a tragedy, folks. Even I have to pay for them. Although I've never had a single kid in them, I still am forced by government tyrannical abuse to pay for them. We talked about U.S. Joint House Resolution 79 and why the Equal Rights Amendment is so wrong and abusive. It should be completely shut down. But, of course, they're not following the supreme laws of our land now, are they? We talked about Bring Our Troops Home. Ron Paul did a great job. And he interviewed Idaho's Lieutenant Governor Janice McKeegan about getting out of these wars and about the efforts to not force the National Guards into service unless there's a declared war. Great work on that. We talked about the U.S. and the Taliban agree to a truce and a way forward in Afghanistan. Sounds like good news, and I hope that it is, but I don't know why the U.S. has to have a truce with the Taliban. We're going to have a truce with Al-Qaeda next? A truce with North Korea next? You know, are all these truces good? Why are we even there? Why do we need the truce? All right, in Afghanistan, shouldn't Afghanistan have a truce with the factions in their own country, in their own sovereign nation? Or should it be the United States having a truce everywhere in the world? See, why are we even there, folks? We marched right in, we can march right out, right? Utah Senate passes a bill to make like daylight savings time year-round, which at first you would say is good news. But there's so many stumbling blocks. You got to have the Utah House vote yes. You got to have the governor sign it. You got to the bill would still need action by Congress on the federal level, and then you'd have to have four states agree to go along as well. I mean, it's just disaster. But that's how they legislate these days. They pass, as Scott Bradley told us, next hour, 500-plus bills a year, for the most part, wholly unnecessary. We ought to get rid of at least two bills for every one we pass, but no. Anyway, our second hour guest was Scott Bradley, topreservethenation.com, his website. And we talked about 98 Girl Scout, has been selling cookies since 1932. She's unstoppable, they say. Kirk Cosby's got a freezer full of Girl Scout cookies. I mean, that's a pretty good news story, though. They also say oil production on federal land, so in the United States, surpasses 1 million barrels. And they say it undermines the influence of OPEC on the world's markets. Well, I want to stop the oil cartels, so that's good news. I reject the federal government control of land claim. Nevertheless, you know what? Domestic oil production is a good thing, so we don't depend on foreign terrorists for our oil. That's a good thing, right? U.S. led the entire world in reducing CO2 emissions in 2019. They say electricity declines. I guess demand for decline because of less need for air conditioning and heating was kind of the cause. Milder summer, winter weather. What does that mean? Does that mean global warming is not as a big of a concern? Oh, no, that means it's worse. You know, there's always a calm before the storm, right? See, they'll take advantage of any manipulation they can. God gave us the earth, folks, and we need to have good, honest people taking stewardship, no doubt. But this alarmist rhetoric has got to stop over climate control, folks, or climate change. As gun rights die in Virginia, nine states could soon form pro-Second Amendment bastion. I pray they do, mainly in the South, by the way. We also talked about a school resource officer takes second grader without a father to a daddy-daughter dance. That's great news, assuming the motives are pure. Good people filling in when someone's lost a father or a mother. I appreciate the kindness of good people doing good things. We talked about a dentist giving free services to people with Down syndrome. That's good news, too. We also talked about the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis wins big in a partial, quote, E-Verify vote. I reject E-Verify. It's unconstitutional to create a federal government database that employers must check with by law. Okay, I don't agree with all that. You say, well, Sam, how do we solve the immigration problem? Try having the federal government deal with the border like they're supposed to. That's a good start, isn't it? There's also nothing wrong with private sector databases, right, that employers can voluntarily check with, right? You can make penalties for hiring illegals, too, right? We talked about a Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, to set up back-to-back votes on pro-life bills. That's fantastic news as well. Good for Mitch, I hope. I very rarely have praise for Mitch, but I hope we can truly push pro-life legislation. I know the Democrats won't go for it, but again, we can highlight the reality. We can take names and we can vote out those who don't stand for one of the most important, sacred, God-given, inalienable rights we have. That is the right to life. And we should have the government protecting that right, not literally obliterating it, right? We talked about Alabama Democrat introduces a bill. It's legislation mandating vasectomies for men at age 50 or after the third child. So, hey, if you're a man, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, are you 50 years old? No, yes, no. Or, you know, have you had three kids? Whichever comes first, then they would shut you out, shut down your reproductive rights, right? Mandating by force. Where's the pro-choice folks when you need them, huh? We also talked about MIT delivers dire warning. They say web voting apps can be hacked. Wow, computer scientists and science experts say results aren't surprising. Okay, well, there you go. I've been telling you this way before MIT started telling you this. So I'm glad MIT's listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. Still available at libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word, would you please? Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Cosby joining me. He's nicknamed The Honeyman. LocalHoneyman.com for his website if you want to get raw honey delivered directly to your door. LocalHoneyman.com. Or you can call or text 801-669-2211. 801-669-2211. Or simply email Kurt at LibertyRoundtable.com. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt gave me a gazillion stories. I got about 50 of them to rock and roll through. So here we go, man. First one, the positive impact of Trump's constitutionalist judges. David Barton writes this piece, and this is tremendous because a lot of times, you know, you hear, oh, how important it is to put people in the right spots for judgeships and the courts and all that kind of stuff. But you oftentimes don't hear about the real behind the scenes I don't know what you call it, repercussions or reality check when you have good or bad judges. Oftentimes, people don't know the details. David Barton lays them out in a fantastic way, Kurt.
That's right, and we've been fans of David Barton for years.
Fans, you know, and friends, that's right. Is,
that's right. If you don't know who he is, check out his Wall Builders out of Texas, and he's been doing great work. Doesn't mean he's really builds walls, but that's his name of his organization.
Yeah, by the way, really quick on him, though. He does a half-hour radio program every day, Kurt. I don't know if you know that. It's a great program, and we normally haven't aired it on our radio stations because what do you do with the other half hour? Every hour in radio, you got to fill the whole time. And so we've struggled. We're working on a way that we might be able to run that program and another program back to back, Kurt, to develop an hour program of these 2 half-hour shows. So we're working on adding David Barton to the lineup at LovingLiberty.net, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in. Go ahead, sir.
Excellent. He says, as I travel the nation, I'm often asked whether President Trump's judicial nominees are as helpful to our republic as many claim they are. He didn't say, by the way, our democracy. He said our republic.
Yeah, because he's educated.
My answer is an unequivocal yes. I believe our Constitution and its unique ideas has made America a special place, and I can say that in my lifetime, no president has appointed more judges not only knowledgeable of the Constitution, but also dedicated to preserving its core principles. A shining example of this is Judge James C. Ho, H.O., appointed by President Trump to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. Judge Ho is extremely busy. He says, in parentheses, some 7,500 cases are filed with the Fifth Circuit each year, or nearly 30 cases every workday. But it seems that when writing an opinion, he never misses the opportunity to defend and educate about the scope of protections in the Constitution. A recent example is the decision in Horvath versus City of Leander, a case few heard anything about, but which addressed important constitutional issues.
And by the way, I could not agree with David Barton more. He's spot on. This is critical, and it's where Donald Trump doesn't get any credit in the media like he should. We'll come back and talk about this exact example from David Barton in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get kosher certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, we're talking about our good friend David Barton, who makes the claim and backs it up with data, the point about the positive impact of Trump's constitutionalist judges. And he basically says, does it really make as much of a difference as people claim? His answer, a resounding yes. I couldn't agree with him more. Kurt?
Yeah, he mentions a case, he says, about a fireman. He says that this one involved a fireman who was terminated for insubordination for refusing on religious grounds to receive a required vaccine or accept what he believed to be an insufficient accommodation of his religious beliefs offered by the department. The fire department had offered allowances, but he refused them. A majority of the court, including Judge Ho, upheld the fireman's termination, believing that the department had indeed made reasonable attempts to accommodate his beliefs, but Judge Ho did not stop with that ruling. He went further and authored a very helpful separate opinion that clarified several important points. When the lower district court originally ruled against the fireman, it cited a 1980 Supreme Court case, Employment Division versus Smith is what it was. That case had amazingly ruled that despite the explicit language of the First Amendment in the Constitution that says otherwise, the government had the right to regulate an individual's religious expressions. In parentheses, they put, this case has been heavily criticized over the years, and many current Supreme Court justices want to dismantle that ruling and issue a new one, returning to the actual wording of the Constitution, which explicitly guarantees protection for religious expressions. Judge Ho was troubled by the district court's reliance on that case, and he, when ruling on the Horvath case, noting that we should not apply it where it does not belong. He then reviewed the disturbing trend in recent years of reducing the First Amendment's required protection of for the free exercise of religion to nothing more than protection for one's worship. As Judge Ho correctly points out, there is a vast difference between worship, which suggests only ceremonial and sacramental observances, generally in private settings, and free exercise, which includes both action and application in public. Ho affirmed that the founders intended the First Amendment to extend beyond mere ritual and private belief to cover any action motivated by faith. He rightly concluded that when government regulation and religious activity conflict, the right to free exercise would require that the government accommodate the religious practices rather than the reverse. In short, if there's a conflict, the government must back down, not religious expression. Final couple of paragraphs from David Barton in the WorldNet Daily piece says, many judges today invoke what is called a qualified immunity, meaning that when a government official is accused of violating someone's constitutional right to religious freedom, that official must be protected and not held individually responsible. But as Judge Ho reminds us, the Constitution was written to restrain government, not empower it. So we ought to be more concerned about government chilling the citizens, not the other way around. Some today, final paragraph, actively try to rewrite the founders' clear choice of words for the freedoms the Constitution seeks to protect, but not Judge Ho. He understands that both the explicit language as well as the historical background of the First Amendment is to provide maximum protection for our first freedom, religious freedom. Judge Jim Ho is representative of the scores of constitution-minded originalist judges President Trump is nominating to the bench.
And to hammer home Judge Jim Ho's point, along with David Barton's articulation of this point, Kurt, in my mind is this. You know, religious freedom is one of the most important freedoms we have. Because if you can't worship how, where, what you may, what other freedoms do you have? And I think I submit to you that my ability to turn to God and my acknowledgement of God in public and private is so critical. If we lose that one, you know, what else is there? If we lose our right to life and our, you know, right to worship God, what do we have left? And so religious freedom really is at the, I don't know what word I ought to use, cornerstone of really all of our rights. Because at some point, you got to acknowledge something higher than government. And if you don't, then there's nothing higher than government. And if there's nothing higher than government, then they get to just decide whatever the heck they want. And we've got to understand that isn't the way that our founders intended it, Kurt.
Yeah, that's a great point. And our country, you know, if you really look back at the founding, the Pilgrims, all the different ones, most of them, I think, originally came because of the hope of religious freedom.
Amen to that. And we hope for that in our day as well, and that's what we intend to preserve. Right now, these are not Trump women, Kurt. They're evangelical women, but they happen to like the Donald. I thought all the women hated the Donald, Kurt. That's what they try to tell you, right?
Yeah, That's a good point, Sam. These women are some pretty, kind of a special group. And in fact, they're not going to be in that crowd that we saw in Washington, D.C. with the weird hats or anything. I guess they were the blank hats, women's body part hats, pink ones. Anyway, the headline reads, "Evangelical Women Pray Over Trump. Holy Father, we thank you for his courage." This is by Dr. Susan Berry. She writes for Breitbart. And she says, at least a dozen evangelical women prayed over President Trump when he made an unplanned appearance at his hotel in Washington, D.C. DailyMail.com, you got to go across the pond for some of these things, obtained the video that shows Trump in the middle of the group of women at the Trump International Hotel as they prayed over him with their arms outstretched and hands laid upon him. One woman led the prayer, saying, "Holy Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for this man of God. We thank you for his courage of standing up when others would rather stay seated. Father, we ask you that you protect him, that you lift him up, that you give him strength, and know that he must be tired at times. And we just pray that you give him power like none other. We love him, we hold him up, and we thank you. Amen." Well, that's pretty good stuff.
They also finished by saying, "We thank you, Father, for his courage as well."
Yeah, good point.
And this is where, President Trump isn't perfect. I get that he's got a lot of flaws, just like many of us. But I also get that they're trying to do their best. And you know what? I'm not an evangelical, Kurt. And I'm not a woman. Right. But I pray for the president as well.
Amen.
And I think we need to do that regardless. I prayed for Bill Clinton when he was there. Sadly, my prayers in many cases were without hope. Just because of what I see him do on a daily basis, it's really hard to, have a lot of hope. But I still had, a desire to want to bless his life and hope he would, protect the nation and stand for our freedoms and everything else. But anyway, I just commend these women. And we bring it up because, look, the mainstream press wants you to believe that really all women, if you're a real woman, you're a feminist and you hate Trump. And it isn't true. There's a lot of good women who realize and recognize the benefits of Trump being president, of him turning to God, of him standing for pro-life, of him putting good men and women on the courts, of him, there's a lot of good things. And these women are understanding and thinking through it. It's kind of like when black people like Trump, too. There's some black people that, hey, you're just an evil guy. If you like Trump, you're supposed to be black and hate Trump and love all Democrats. And there's a lot of black people that are breaking that mold, too. And they're saying, we like President Trump and we believe in what he stands for. And we're going to work towards that effort, Kurt.
Yeah, it looks like one of the ladies there, Sam, happened to be the wife of Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Her name is Candy Carson.
Is she black, Kurt?
There, and yes, she is.
Is she allowed to think for herself and support Trump if she wants to?
Great lady, I think.
I agree. And this just proves, again, some of these people, they don't have groupthink, Kurt. It isn't just a popularity contest or a racist discussion. It's we believe in the values President Trump is supporting. He hasn't always supported those values in his life, but he is now. And you know what? We believe in change and we believe in opportunity and we believe that people can, progress and repent and change. And we're supporting that effort. And I commend Candy Carson for being there and for praying for the president. And, there you go. This is a story the mainstream press should be telling, but they won't touch it. Because it's just too positive and too good, and it unites Americans, and so they don't want any part of it, but we love it. By the way, a woman receives flowers every Valentine's Day, Kurt. That's nothing unique, really. The unique part's coming up.
What's unique? Yeah, good.
You
got
to do this commercial overhang part, Kurt. Isn't that how they teach us to do it in radio?
Mm-hmm.
There's also 6.1 million individuals involved in some pretty cool stuff. We'll tell you about them, too. Uh-oh, Donald might get credit for that one. Should we spike it, Kurt? Oh, no, we gotta tell the story. Hang tight.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Following days of attacks from other Democratic candidates who've accused him of trying to buy the presidential nomination, Michael Bloomberg's huge ad spending seems to be working. A national poll out today from PBS and Marist College shows him in second place. Bernie Sanders with 31% support, Bloomberg with 19%. Joe Biden's third with 15%. Bloomberg's position means he qualifies for tomorrow's debate in Nevada. NASCAR team owner Joe Gibbs apologizing for his winning team's celebration after Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500 last night. Gibbs said the team quickly stopped the victory lane celebration when they learned how serious Ryan Newman's last lap crash was.
In a shower of sparks on his roof.
That is heard on Fox. Miraculously, they say Newman does not have life-threatening injuries. This is USA Radio News.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Did you know that life insurance rates have fallen 60% over the past 25 years? Even if you already own life insurance, you should check out the folks at AccuQuote. Since 1986, they've helped millions of people save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. Want some examples? Here's this one. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 worth of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are also available. And if you're on medications or have health problems, the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find an affordable policy. Nobody does it better than AccuQuote. Call 877-437-5912 right now. That's 877-437-5912. 877-437-5912. Life insurance. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Each policy forms and availability vary by state.
The Boy Scouts of America filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy overnight as the organization faces hundreds of lawsuits from men who say that scout leaders sexually abused them when they were boys. The scouts have been looking into the possibility of bankruptcy for over a year. The legal exposure has ramped up, though, since a number of states changed their laws to give sexual abuse victims more time to sue their abusers. Hundreds of people in Jackson, Mississippi, still out of their homes because of flooding, the Pearl River cresting higher than it has in nearly 40 years. And after a week of heavy rain, more is on the way in the next few days. An Oklahoma State Senate committee has endorsed a bill to ban abortions as soon as a heartbeat or brain waves are detected in a fetus. The proposal approved yesterday would amend current state law by covering women who are in 6 weeks of pregnancy instead of 8 weeks. Find us online. We're at usaradio.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I had this story on my list to cover, but I'm going to bring it up really quick right now just because the bottom of the hour talked about it, so we might as well, you know, add that headline to our notes here. Facing a wave of sex abuse claims, the Boy Scouts of America files for bankruptcy. Mike Baker with the piece for us. It was mentioned at the bottom of the hour news as well. And again, what a sad tragedy. A wonderful, wonderful organization for literally decade after decade after decade. You know, they embrace the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, before you know it, the organization just flat out completely melts down. And you would say, well, Sam, this just coming out now. It might be. But I'm telling you, the safeguards should have been there in the first place. And what a sad tale for our society. It's why I bring up this example where, you know, hey, people are trying to help these young little girls go to daddy-daughter dances and things like that. And I think it's wonderful, but we really got to make sure that motives are pure, and we really have to. But again, when you promote pornography in our society, you promote this sexualized society everywhere, and then you wonder why it goes off the rails. And the answer is we all need to turn to God. Anyway, what a sad tale to tell, but there you have it. Boy Scouts of America declares bankruptcy. I don't know what that means for the organization. We'll watch as it all unfolds. What a sad tale to tell. I'll tell you that one. Now, a woman receives flowers every Valentine's Day. Not too unique, but, Kurt?
Well, yeah, the unique part would be this is coming, they say, from late husband. Now, this is in Georgetown, Kentucky, and I guess this man guaranteed that his wife would never feel alone on Valentine's Day. He passed away in 2012 after a three-year fight with cancer. She was devastated. That's according to WFTV. However, the following year, she received a beautiful bouquet of flowers for Valentine's Day and her birthday, which are just a day apart. It was really emotional, she told the reporters, she said it was sad, but also happy at the same time because I just knew he'd always be with me. At the time, she thought the flowers from her late husband were just a one-time gift, but every year since then, a bouquet has been delivered to her home with a note from Richard. Tracy, even though you can't see me, I'm always here. I love you. Love, Rich. The card read, her card from 2018 read. Their daughter Bethany said the annual gifts just go to show that what a caring man her dad was. This is true love, she explained. In a Facebook post, she talked about it. She wrote that wrote that his father's tenderness was always, well, something he would always remember. He said, my father is who instilled the great heart I have within me. He taught me so much, but this has to be the greatest gift he taught me, he stated. Her husband never told her about his plans to give her flowers every year, but he did tell the children, Bethany said. We don't know exactly how it's done, but we do know that they won't stop anytime soon, she explained. Now, Tracy describes her precious husband as a caring, loving, and emotional man who knew exactly what would bring her comfort once he was gone. Every time I get him, it really brings back a lot of emotions and joyful tears, she commented. It really brings back all the memories we were able to make together, she said, of their 26-year marriage.
Now I'm going to pull a Kurt right now really quick. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we saw more stories like that and more people thought about things like that and we promoted, you know, God-ordained marriages and male and female relationships and treating each other with kindness and dignity and respect and honor and faithfulness? And just imagine if we were to prize that in our society and make that, you know, I mean, this story should be going viral. What a cool story around Valentine's Day. And did you even hear about this stuff where there's like, hey, the average American spends whatever number of dollars on Valentine's and men are usually clueless when it comes to their women. They don't have a clue. Well, you know, we can teach men about how to behave towards women and women to behave towards men with examples like this. Mm-hmm. You know?
Good point.
Anyway, pretty neat story. And, I'm sure that it brings tears to her eyes in gratitude for who he was in life. And, you know, it also kind of really is a reminder in my mind that he still lives. And that's something that we don't teach in our society either. That I know his body's in the grave. I understand. But I believe he was brought home and he will one day be resurrected. This is the, you know, belief in Jesus Christ that I have. Because of Jesus Christ, he will be resurrected, and so will she. And they'll have a chance to see each other again. And what a blessing that opportunity will be. It'll be a wonderful reunion. And then she'll be able to thank him for the flowers. Isn't that pretty cool? Hey, by the way, 6.1 million individuals have been affected directly by Donald Trump. Kurt?
Well, the headline from Breitbart is, like you say, it's helping the president or supporting him. they say 6.1 million individuals off food stamps under Donald Trump. Now, I thought it was interesting. They're talking about this program that the government has called Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. And I thought it was, way down deep in the story, you find that according to a report from the Government Accountability Office, man, those guys ought to be busy, computer algorithms went through SNAP purchase data in 7 states and matched it up with retailer and eligibility data to see if there was fraud. Oh, man, you talk about a program.
And the whole program just melted down, ladies and gentlemen.
In Mississippi, they say the state reported $2 million in SNAP overpayments since the state started incorporating data mining into its fraud detection efforts. But the study was limited, as all 7 states said, high costs, data limitations, and organizational support affected their ability to use more advanced artificial intelligence gathering techniques to ferret out fraud. Translation, Sam?
Well, translation is the computers can allow fraud. They have a really hard time stopping it. For some reason, if they allow it, then there's plenty of room to let that occur all day long. But when it's stopping fraud, they say the computer can track everything you do, Kurt. When you blink, the computer knows. When you breathe, the computer knows. You know.
Yeah.
But yet they can't really detect the fraud going on when you steal the money from the government. But the answer is to just get rid of SNAP altogether. But the point here is that Donald Trump has got 6.1 million people off of food stamps and off of the SNAP program. And many would say, oh, man, those poor people are just all running around homeless now. It isn't true. There's more jobs than ever before. In our modern history, at least. And, you know, people are starting to make money and people are happier. People are more stable. And so anyway, that's 6.1 million. And I think the less we have food stamps, then, hey, hopefully we can just reduce that government program right on down to zero. It's a great opportunity for Christians and neighbors and churches and nonprofit organizations and charitable organizations and philanthropy groups. I could go on, right? For them to all just absolutely step up to the plate to hit a grand slam right now. And to show how it ought to really be done and how it used to be done in America before the great socialism programs kicked off, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. We can go back to an earlier, simpler time, and we can care for those around us in God's way, not government's way. Kurt?
And make America great again. Final paragraph from the article from Breitbart says other states, however, have done similar things with analytics for different welfare programs at the state level. Utah became one of the first states to modernize its unemployment insurance analytics system in 2006 after spending $14 million to overhaul it. In 2015, the state had one of the lowest fraud rates in the country at 1.3%. So there you go.
Now, however, 3% fraud rate, still huge, Kurt.
Well, it's 1.3%.
Oh, well, that's still huge, though. 1.3%, 1% fraud?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree. But, you know, but like you say, one way to have no fraud
is to get rid of it. And the other question becomes, couldn't churches and all these groups that I mentioned really pick up that slack? I think they can.
That's how it was before.
But it's pretty hard to compete with government, though. You know, most people just aren't willing to do that, you know.
Good point.
All right. Now, what, Kurt, when we talk about 6.1 million people, then if I add one person to that, what's that? 6.1 million plus one?
I guess so.
All right. That one would be one Arnold Schwarzenegger, wouldn't it, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, this guy...
And by the way, typically, this is kind of the other side of this same coin, I might add, isn't it, Kurt, a little bit?
Well, it seems like
that's why
it,
I say plus one, just so you know.
Yeah, good point. And the Breitbart piece says, Arnold Schwarzenegger thanks Trump for tackling homeless epidemic. Now, you know, I guess they call him actor and former California governor. Thanked President Trump and Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, for taking part in a homelessness summit and helping the state with the chronic problem of homelessness in the state. He says, everyone knows that President Trump and I have our disagreements, but I want to thank you for sending Secretary Carson to our homelessness summit. We'll only solve this if everyone works together. This issue is bigger than all of us. Now it's time for action, he says. And I guess the University of Southern California's Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy posted about a poll it took about the homelessness problem in the state. Bottom line is, California's got problems.
Yeah, but good for Donald, good for Ben Carson, and good for Arnold Schwarzenegger to acknowledge it and point the fact out that we got to get government out of the way, and we got to come together to solve this. People are paying it forward after listening to Liberty Roundtable. Somebody else is listening to Liberty Roundtable.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so I've been mentioning that what we need to do is tell stories, and people need to, like, pay it forward, and people, like, need to have copycats and let the good news stories go viral, and we've been talking about that quite a bit, Kurt. And I don't know if this... Well, Kim Davis has the piece, and I don't know if it's Kim Davis listening to the Liberty Roundtable to proliferate this, or if it's the, I don't know what you want to call it, assistant in this story, but we're talking about a helping hand offered, and you think other species besides humans are listening to Liberty Roundtable, Kurt, or what? What do you think's going on around here?
Well, it's possible, Sam. The headline reads from the Western Journal, boys, viral photo shows incredible moment, orangutan offers helping hand to man in snake-infested waters. Now, a little more detail. So the man happened to be one of these, wildlife protectors there, and this is on the island of Borneo in Southeast Asia, and this wildlife warden or whatever was had a report of snakes in the area, so the warden was... in the water to clear out snakes. I'm thinking, that's kind of a dangerous thing to be doing. I mean, I don't know how you do that exactly. But anyway, he's trying to rid the area of snakes. And this critically endangered ape appeared at the riverbank and extended its hand down to the rangers. So the ranger's standing down in the water, you know, murky water and stuff. And I guess he's trying to get rid of snakes. And this... you know, ape or orangutan put his hand down and said, somebody said, well, if the orangutan could talk, it probably would have said, may I help you? When it reached down, you know.
Or it might have said, get the heck out of those waters. How stupid are you?
Yeah.
Could have said something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, good point.
Anyway, smart orangutan listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, paying it forward. Good news stories coming forward. Nice. Thanks to Kim Davis and the folks over at Western Journal. I'm just saying it's kind of interesting, kind of cool. And it went viral photo. That's good news. But I still don't hear the mainstream press talking about it too much. They're still arguing on The View about everything, Kurt.
Well, you know? I didn't even hear any. About it other than Western Journal.
You know? You've heard about the infamous Clintons. Well, an ex-Clinton advisor's in the news, too, you ought to know about, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. Remember Scott Bradley? If I'm pretty sure when he was with us, you know, the other day, he suggested that if Bloomberg was going to take on, you know, Hillary, that he probably should... I think he even said this, but anyway, the headline reads, ex-Clinton advisor tells Bloomberg, hire a taster after Hillary VP report. So, in other words, if you're going to be...
Yeah, but if you put Hillary on your staff, she might just try to do away with you so she can become president, and you better hire a taster to make sure you don't get poisoned. But this is interesting, though. This isn't Scott Bradley or Kurt Crosby or Sam Bushman. This is an ex-Clinton advisor, Kurt.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Whoa, man.
And the piece is from Jack Davis at the Western Journal, so I thought it was just interesting right after we had heard Scott Bradley say
that. Yeah. You know. Our prayers are with Hillary, though, that, you know what, she decides to be, I don't know, to realize that God's in charge and it wouldn't be good to do away with anybody. Be a bad idea. And, you know, you'll be accountable for God for such action. And so our prayers are that she can come to her senses and not be so power hungry and greedy and self, you know, self-promoting to the point of blinders. You know, power oftentimes put blinders on people's eyes. So anyway, the ex-Clinton advisor warning Bloomberg, and I'd like to warn everybody, including the ex-Clinton advisor, get as far away from her as you can and pray for her, okay? James Dobson's in the news too, Kurt.
WorldNet Daily piece by Bob Unruh. Always doing good work there, Bob. James Dobson, Colorado votes death for precious boys and girls who survive abortion. Subheadline, family advocate says lawmakers choose political platform over humanity.
And I don't even know how to respond to this, Kurt.
Yeah, he is warning. He says, well, anyway, they say, or he said, this week, representatives in my home state of Colorado made a decision that a child's life is expendable. Specifically, legislative committee members voted down a bill that would have required doctors to provide medical care for a baby born alive following an attempted abortion. Make no mistake, he goes on, this is not about abortion access or the right to choose. This is not about bundles of cells or clumps of tissue. This is not about my body, my choice, or any other despicable euphemism or excuse employed to minimize the horror of killing an unborn child in the womb, he said. Anyway,
yeah, that's right. This is about flat-out murder, and Colorado taking the next step to promote murder, Kurt. And we reject it, and we agree with James Dobson. What a sad day that it is. In fact, I think the Coloradans really need to relieve themselves of such bureaucrats and administrators that are pro-murder. They had a next election cycle get rid of all these, you know, hacks that voted on their behalf to what, Kurt? Death, the culture of death, and the promotion. Okay, we need to remove those folks and put people in that will stand for life and reverse this immediately. But again, I don't believe enough pro-life folks that'll stand up, Kurt. Most people are just like, hey, you got Super Bowl coming up? Or you got, you know, whatever. Yeah. And sadly, they're too busy smoking marijuana and too busy with bread and blood and circus to focus on this. And that's kind of the problem. But I agree with James Dobson, and we pray for the folks in Colorado that they can really turn that around and focus on pro-life, because pro-death is not a good plan. All right, coronavirus cripples China. They say cripples communist China, but the U.S. lab needed only 3 hours to find the vaccine, Kurt.
Well, that's what they say. They say a team of San Diego laboratory scientists has reportedly created a vaccine for the coronavirus, and they say in a potentially record-breaking time. They say we were able to rapidly construct our vaccine in a matter of about 3 hours once we had the DNA sequence from the virus available because of the power of our DNA medicine platform. So they say our goal is to start phase one human testing in the U.S. early this summer. But anyway, I just found it interesting. You know, like you mentioned, they do say communist China in the report, whereas typically, you know, they're not going to highlight that communist part.
Yeah, and to me, you know, I'm not really for vaccines either, but I would say, again, it's always a risk-reward analysis, and in certain circumstances, maybe, you know, a vaccine like that would make sense in very unique circumstances. The problem is, I'm afraid that if they can create it in 3 hours, why do we got to wait this summer for trials? Why don't we use it on those who are sick and, you know, or those who might be sick? In other words, let's say there's 50 people on a plane and we find out four people were sick. You could go to those, you know, 46 people and say, hey, you know what? We got this experimental vaccine. You know, you might have the coronavirus. We don't know yet. But, you know, if you take the vaccine, hopefully you won't get it. You can volunteer for this if you'd like. Why don't we start like that immediately, Kurt? If it only took 3 hours to create, why are we waiting till this summer after the, quote, wave of the coronavirus already, you know, cripples communist China and affects everybody? Anyway, it's just interesting to me how that is, you know.
I agree.
But anyway, they say Chinese banknotes, I guess they're going to be disinfecting banknotes to stop the coronavirus. They say they're going to, what, quarantine the notes for 14 days, Kurt?
Well, that's what they say, Sam, but they've also, in a more recent, well, the headline reads, China disinfects banknotes and quarantines them for 14 days as Beijing announces 143 new coronavirus deaths and global death toll rises past 1,600. But in a more recent story, they said, well, we had to burn all that money because we were just worried about it. So burning the money. What I wonder about, Sam, is what if they had silver and gold? Do you think
they'd have to quarantine the silver and gold, buddy?
Okay.
All right, now China's claiming discrimination, Kurt.
Well, yeah. They think it's not fair. They said they're scolding Australia for rejecting the Huawei 5G network. Why are they, rejecting that there in Australia?
Well, because the people in Australia believe that the Chinese government is in bed with the, quote, technology manufacturer, and that the China has backdoor spyware and all kinds of malware involved in their systems, Kurt. And people are scared that China will exploit citizens and exploit systems and private financial and health and other data, that it could be a problem. And we don't trust the communists. That's why I mentioned communists in the story above. They don't trust the communist Chinese, Kurt. Now, I don't trust the United States government for the same reason, but I will say this. They're very concerned about China. And when China puts these 5G networks in, oftentimes, Kurt, there's a little bit sinister technological inclusions in the technology that they buy. And so people are saying, we don't trust the communist Chinese, Kurt. I wonder why people don't trust the communists.
Imagine that. The next story kind of highlights that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe this is part of the reason, Kurt. Go ahead.
Yeah. Report. Chinese army stole over 13 million British citizens' personal data.
Hmm. So maybe Britain let Australia know that, hey, that won't go down very well.
Yeah.
And then, the Australians are like, oh, good point, mate.
Good point, mate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they stole over 13 million citizens' personal data. That's a problem, and that really highlights the point that I'm making. But I don't believe you can trust any government, though. Let's not pretend American government's great, and Australian and Britain's governments are all wonderful, and the Chinese governments are evil. All governments do this, Kurt. China just might be one of the worst offenders. But we're talking about the Chinese army, too. So remember, this isn't even just government. This is tied into the military, which is even much more scary in my personal opinion. Now, there's an expert speaking out, too, that might have a little bit of an insight of why people are scared of the government, communist Chinese technology implementations, too, Kurt. This expert might shed a little light, Kurt.
Yeah, the headline reads, China has global chokehold on medicine. Can shut down our pharmacies, hospitals in months. Or in other words, bottom line is, Sam, we've been telling people about this forever. Hey, if everything comes from China, what happens if they quit shipping it? You know what I mean, Sam?
Yeah, imagine China having a global chokehold on medicine and could shut down our pharmacies and our hospitals in months. Would that be a concern for you, Kurt?
Well, it seems like it's not smart to have any place else to have a chokehold on what something is you need, you know? I mean, that's why we're for, like, having the food you need or having the power you need.
But then we say we ought to do stuff locally and in the United States, and then they say, you guys are nothing but nationalists. You guys are isolationists, aren't you? And they just go right off the rails to this extreme, the other side defending their, in my opinion, not even defensible positions. I am not against the Chinese people. I hope the Chinese people can prosper and do well. And I think they have the same desires, Kurt, that you and I have, which is, to be married and to have a loved one and a significant other and to welcome children to their families and to just have a wonderful family.
Yeah, you're
life.
Just not talking about the communist leaders of China.
I'm talking about the people. Good people in China. And I think their leaders betray them with this communist agenda. And I think in America, our leaders betray us for the same reason. Maybe not as extreme, but the principles are similar. That, governments run off the rails and people get drunk with power. And when we have a big leader like Hillary Clinton that's violated our laws and she's just skating, jail-free on the get-out-of-jail-free card, courtesy Donald Trump, and then, her ex-advisor's like, you better make sure if you put her on your vice presidential ticket that you get a taster to make sure that she doesn't kill you. That's going on in America while we're complaining about the communist Chinese. And then Donald says, hey, lock her up. And then he's like, oh, we don't need to lock her up. She's my favorite buddy. What? One hour in the can, second hour coming up. We declare this nation shall endure.